Yeah, he will take the face. Al is back on Monday. Looking forward to him coming back. In the meantime, DeMarco Farr is here as well. And you heard Chris right there talking about, you know, your old friend, right?
Yeah.
Chris has kind of left us in the dust. Chris has kind of moved on. Like, Chris is, like, losing weight and living a little healthier lifestyle.
He looks good.
He looks great.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he can't really hang with us anymore. He doesn't have that desire to go crazy on the way home like you and I were talking about last time and
go
hit that drive-thru right away.
Our job is to tempt him.
We're the pushers?
Yeah, that's our job. Of course, yes. He has to fight back, and he's fighting the good fight for all of us.
No, he
has. But our job is to tempt.
Chris has done a really good job. All right, a couple of bonus Ask DeMarcos. I always like to throw in a couple after the break. You ready? This is from Matoso83, and he writes, what is your most memorable moment from your first ever training camp with the Rams?
Oh, thank you. What's the name again?
Matoso.
Thank you, Matoso. Getting headbutted by Jackie Slater and almost knocked unconscious. Yeah, he grabbed me, he headbutted me, dropped me in a heap right at the feet of Chuck Knox. And when I came to, the first guy I saw was Isaac Bruce, and it was like one of those Friday moments. You got knocked out! Yeah.
That's a good one. All right, I got one more for you here. What was harder, making a tackle of Jerome Bettis on the Angels infield or outfield when you played in Anaheim?
Either way, this ain't fair. I'm serious. This is an offensive guard carrying the football.
Yeah, he's
a big dude. This should be illegal. Yeah.
There's none left, right? There are no hybrid NFL stadiums where they're still playing baseball anymore. They're all gone.
I don't think so.
The Raiders were the last one.
That's it. Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, that was a bad
deal. Oh, my goodness. You want to talk about you got grass? So you've got grass cleats.
Right.
They're longer. 1.5 inches.
Right.
And then you get on infield dirt. So you're basically like hovering above. Oh, my God. I hated it.
No, oh. I always like the visual of somebody getting tackled right around second base. I don't know why I always
like that, but he
makes the tackle not at the 22-yard line, but right at second base.
We're standing out there like, this can't be the pros. This can't be the end-all, be-all. I'm standing on dirt playing football.
This is high school stuff,
yes,
right? Absolutely. One more here. This is just because I want us to feel good about ourselves. This is from Black Sox, and he writes, Trav and DeMarco have me dying right now. So at least we've made at least one person laugh this morning, DeMarco.
Of laughter?
Yeah. It does have the crying, laughing emoji.
Okay, good.
I think we're okay. All right. Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Clayton Kershaw had a throwing session yesterday. It looks like it went pretty well. They're going to, you know, extend him. He's going to throw more pitches, different types of pitches, kind of in the progression. Remember, he did this a couple of weeks ago, and as a setback, and they kind of had to go back to square one. Mm-hmm. So they're being a little bit more cautious this time through. Any concern at all for you, DeMarco, about Clayton Kershaw missing a bunch of time right as we get into the postseason race, and maybe even by the time we get to the playoff race, that he just has to hit the ground running and go full speed?
No, I have no qualms. As soon as he's healthy, I'm giving him the ball and standing back. He's one of the greatest pitchers of all time. We know this. Same with Serena. We had this Serena Williams. Mm-hmm. When she's healthy, I'll take her versus the field. When Clayton Kershaw is right, give him the ball. I could care less how much time he's had off or how well he pitched before he was injured. When he's ready and he's right, he's almost unhittable. I will take him every single time.
You know, I think it's an interesting conversation for 2019. That if this were happening in 2019 and Clayton Kershaw had had the bumps and hiccups along the way, it would be a fair question. But I don't feel it at all. I really think this is a situation where Clayton Kershaw finally punched his older brother in the mouth, and now he's not scared anymore. And that when you have those things, whether it's your dad or your older brother or your best friend that you can't beat in one-on-one in the driveway or whatever it is, then you just...
So the World Series was punching the brother in the mouth?
Yes, yes.
Oh,
and it was finally that thing that... Because the only thing that you could have said about Clayton Kershaw prior to October of last year was, yeah, but what about the World Series? Yeah, but what
you mean
about,
for Hall of Fame stuff?
For just his career in general, because he's going to the Hall of Fame. You know, he didn't have to win the World Series to go to the Hall of Fame. He's a multiple-time Cy Young Award winner. He's an MVP of the league, which is a pitcher. Almost never happens. He was a deadlock 100% Hall of Famer prior to winning that World Series last year.
So this is beyond, this is just baseball legacy type thing. Okay.
But when you finally knock your brother out, when you finally realize that, I can do this, look out. Now you're not scared. This is why him coming back, as long as he's healthy, let's go. The question isn't playoff stuff. It's whether or not you're healthy stuff, whether or not, because the I think a better question than are you worried about the playoffs is how much can he give you innings-wise? Because these guys get stretched out on a schedule, right? You saw last night. Urias only went 5 innings. It was good 5 innings.
That's all I need from Kershaw.
If that's good enough, that's fine, because your bullpen is going to come in and pitch. But that's the question. That stuff about Kershaw in the playoffs, that's ancient history,
right,
as far as I'm concerned.
See, that's what I thought. I thought what you saw last night is what you're going to see out of Kershaw. You need 5 strong, and then the bullpen will get you through the rest of the game. I thought that's why you're having all these bullpen games. I thought that's what the Dodgers were setting up for.
No, I don't think that's true. I think they had all those bullpen games because they had no other options.
Okay.
The reason you had to pitch all of these guys every single night was because Trevor Bauer is in legal trouble, because Clayton Kershaw's hurt, because Urias is hurt, because May is hurt, because Gonsolin is hurt.
Okay, let me say, I think that's going to be a product of having all those bullpen games.
Yes.
That you're ready to do it when it matters most, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's the positive residue of doing
correct.
What you've had to do this entire season. But no, I think he goes right in here. I think the bigger question that the Dodgers have.
Wait, and Clayton Kershaw just for 5 innings?
Yeah.
Yes, please. I'll take that.
Yeah, look, you're going to go into a 4-game series, assuming the Dodgers, or excuse me, a winner, you need 4, best of 7.
Yeah.
With Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, Max Scherzer, and Julio Urias.
I'm feeling pretty good about my team.
Good luck, because even if one of those guys has an off night, okay, so fine. It's 1 game. You got to beat those guys 4 times in 7 tries. Good luck with
good
that.
Good luck with that. Can you help me with something?
I'll try.
When they say simulated game,
mm-hmm.
what does that mean? Does that look like?
They put a guy in the batter's box who's trying to get hits off of you, but it's not a game. Right?
So he's trying to hit what you're throwing, but it's not a game.
Yeah, no, he's not. You're not just having you've seen him, probably the cardboard or plastic cutouts that they put in there so you can work with a guy. You don't have to worry about hitting a guy, all these things. But no, what you do, a simulated game is I go out on the mound, and they give me a series of hitters. I mean, it might be the same guy a couple of times in a row, but I'm trying to get him out, and he's trying to get hits off me. And the other element of it is that we're going to stop, right? I'm going to stop down. I'm going to go sit down for 10 minutes.
And rest.
And simulate my team going up to bat and then coming back out and pitch again
as
opposed to I'm going to throw 40 pitches in a bullpen session, and then I'm done.
So same thing for Mookie Betts. He's out in the field. He's playing grounder.
They usually do more pitchers than they do. Usually for position players, they'll send them to the minor leagues for a little.
To get work.
To get some work, but it doesn't sound like that's what they're going to do.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
So we'll see what that is. The Mookie part is the part that I think is really interesting, because – Cody Bellinger was 0-for-4 again last night, and the numbers that he has, look, they are what they are. Clayton Kershaw, why do I keep saying Clayton Kershaw? I can't even talk. Cody Bellinger is batting 172. He's got an on-base percentage of .333. He's got just numbers that are nowhere, DeMarco. Mookie's coming back. You can't take A.J. Pollock off the field. You can't take Chris Taylor off the field. Are they going to sit Cody Bellinger down because they have to do it?
What choice do you have? You take the first two guys you mentioned. If you remove them from the lineup, you lose your team. What have they done to lose their job?
Nothing.
They've been arguably your best player and your hottest player. You cannot remove them for a guy that's coming back. So it's obvious. It's not that Dave Roberts is removing a guy. The guy is removing himself. You know, like you said, those numbers.
You're benching yourself.
Absolutely. Those numbers aren't going to play. And Mookie Betts is coming back, and he needs a spot. Come on, dude. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Here's the crazy part about this.
MVP or no MVP. Those numbers right now, currently, are not MVP. They're the opposite of.
These things tend to work themselves out is one of the great baseball expressions of all time. Hey, no, you got 6 pitchers, you only got 5 spots. These things tend to work themselves out. Hey, you got 5 infielders, you only got 5. These things tend to work themselves out. And so far, if there's a silver lining to everybody missing all this time, it's been that Dave Roberts hasn't had to make this call yet. But it's here. It's tomorrow. Mookie's supposed to come back tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think this is a hard call.
I think it's harder than you're giving it credit for.
I think it could be It could be, depending on what his reaction is, that's where it gets hard, because it's obvious, bro. I mean, come on. Look, you're not swinging the bat very well. Mookie's coming back. These other two guys are playing well. So you want me to replace one of them for you? Ugh. So accept your role, understand what we need to do as a team to get better, and assimilate. If you don't like it, play better.
Well, yeah, but the problem, DeMarco, is this is a guy that has been very valuable for them. Dave's loyalty. We talked about this last time you were here with Kenley.
Yeah.
That he had, because there are other options than Kenley, Blake Treinen, for instance, but he didn't have to make this decision. But Cody Bellinger last year hit big home runs in the NLCS. Hit big home runs.
He's
in the
been
World
a hero.
Series.
Yeah.
He robbed that Tatis home run in the opening round against the Padres. He was the MVP in the NLCS a couple of years ago against the Brewers. He's had some big moments in the playoffs. Now, he was playing better than he has right now, but this isn't just some guy. This is a former MVP. This is a guy that was supposed to bat in the middle of your lineup to a guy that's batting eighth right now, that's batting .172.
Right.
It's a tough thing to say, hey, thanks for everything, but sit down. I know the math makes perfect sense, but
yeah.
One of the things that I think that Dave is great at is massaging personalities and making sure that guys understand that and telling him, you know what, you're not going to play for long stretches of time. That's got to be a weird one.
Well, loyalty goes a long way, but it only goes so far. Is it better for him or for the collective? And the other thing, you can go from loyalty to corruption like that if you make the wrong choice. Wait a minute. Now it's not loyalty. Now you're showing favoritism. Mm. You're going to sit me down and I'm hot for a guy that's cold.
That can shake up. That trickles down to the whole team, too.
Big time. Absolutely.
Yeah, everyone else. Look, we love Cody. Great guy. But, you know, AJ Pollock's hitting 300 and Robin Homer. What are we doing?
This is an easy call. I don't know why this is. And everything you mentioned about what he did was in the past. What are you doing right now, this moment for the Dodgers?
I'm really interested to see what happens, because I don't think it's going to be as easy as all that. I think he's going to continue to get at-bats, and it's going to be one of these, what are we doing kind of things.
Well, that's good for us.
Good
for you and Slee.
Good for me and Slee. Bad for me as a Dodger fan. That is a bad deal across the board. All right. Coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to try to get a little inside expertise on what that alliance is about. Kyle Bonagura from ESPN will check in with us and try to explain what it is that those conferences did. I still don't know. But coming up next, another edition of Fact or Cap. That's next. Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. You remember what the Fact or Cap is,
yes,
Marco?
I was going to say real quick, whenever I see Cinnabons, this is the song that plays in my head right there.
Ding, 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 ding. Is that one of the soft spots in the DeMarco?
I have to avoid whole malls when I know Cinnabon is there.
It's like, you know, it's triggers, right?
Yes.
There are some things that trigger meltdowns.
As soon as I walk through the doors, I can tell if there's a Cinnabon there.
Yeah,
I know it. I can smell it.
I don't have that vice. I've been able to skip cinnamon. It's a long story and
okay.
A disgusting one.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Fact or cap time.
Oh, that's cap. That's so cap, Dad. Everything I've said is a cap, but I'm going to go fact.
First of all, it's not a cap. It's
no, it is a cap.
Welcome to Fact or Cap.
All right, guys. It's time for another game of Fact or Cap. The first statement I have is Steve Mason cares a bit too much about Travis and Slilo being on the screen at SoFi. Travis, is this Fact or Cap?
I'll say that that's cap. I get where he's coming from. I just don't care. You know, I mean, it's one of those things. I'm on the screen. What do I care? You know, the whole idea of, you know, hey, this shouldn't be Mason. Maybe it's not.
Right.
So I'm feeling good about it. So
wow.
I'll say that that's cap.
Ask me that again. One more time.
Steve Mason cares a bit too much about Travis and Sliwa on the screen
at
SoFi.
Fact. That's fact. That's big time fact. You know he cares. Yeah, that's big. Big, 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 big. Absolutely.
Have you seen me up there yet?
I did. I saw you. Okay. I finally saw it. I was like, oh, there he is. You guys look great.
Was it the Ask Slee one with Rampage?
No, it was just you two standing there next to the stadium. Was
perfect.
Rampage in that one?
Well, the Rampage is in a couple of them, and then there's a couple without Rampage.
Dude, tell me that doesn't catch you off guard when you see yourself up there.
It still is wildly awesome every time I see
cool.
it. I can't wait.
Me and Maurice Jones-Drew did the same thing. The first week, it was me. I'm on the air giving a breakdown, and it came on, and I stopped during the broadcast. Because I'm like, wow, look
check
at that.
Me out.
And Maurice did it the next week. It's like, good Lord.
It's a pretty good feeling. It's a pretty good feeling.
All right, up next, the Clippers will win a championship before the Rams.
Oh, that's cap.
DeMarco, is this fact
cap? No, that's way cap. Come on. That's cap. You know why? Basketball season's over.
They're
so
going to get.
So what does that mean?
Yeah, the Super Bowl will be played before the
there
NBA Finals.
There you go. Yeah.
You
I'm
know
not sure
what?
If they're ever going to do it.
You know what? I'm going to say that that's a fact, because I think that the football is you're one thing away, right? That every piece has to fire perfectly. It doesn't have to be Matt Stafford or Andrew Whitworth or Aaron Donald. You need all 11 guys on both sides.
You could lose a place kicker.
You could lose a kicker, and all of a sudden the thing goes up in smoke. Whereas we saw it last year with the Clippers. Paul George was better without Kawhi Leonard, as weird as that sounds. The Clippers got further than they have ever gotten before without Kawhi Leonard. So you get a healthy Kawhi Leonard coming back. I think they're as good as anybody else in the Western Conference. Got to get a little lucky, and the Clippers have been anything but lucky over the years. But, yeah, I just think that the odds are probably better for them than for the Rams.
Both tough. I mean, look, I think it might be tougher for the Clippers to get out of the West, and then you got to deal with what's coming east. I mean, I guess the same could be said for the Rams, but I'm going to pick the Rams because it's fun. So that's cat.
All right. On this day in 1939, The Wizard of Oz was released.
Ugh.
So The Wizard of Oz is actually a horror movie.
Fact. Travis? Fact. Fact.
What?
Fact. Fact.
No. The Wizard of Oz?
Let me make the case. First of all, A little girl watches her family get sucked up by a tornado. Okay? That's how the movie opens. Then she lands into this fairy world where people are getting crushed by houses dropping out of the sky.
Yes.
There are blue flying monkeys that tear you limb from limb.
Yes.
If you get hit with a bucket of water, you disintegrate into nothing. There are apple trees that throw their fruit at you. There are scarecrows that come to life that lead you down a dark path into the woods. What about this movie isn't terrifying?
The singing and the dancing.
Well, there's the singing
and the happy music.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in there that when you're 8 years old and you see that for the first time, messes you up. There's a green witch that's got flying blue monkeys, DeMarco.
There's not a drop of blood in the entire movie.
It doesn't have to be
but
gory to be scary.
She essentially dies in that tornado and then is brought back to life. She is in a coma.
I mean, not really dies, just kind of goes away and comes back, you know?
That movie is that and Jaws are the two movies that still like, nah, I don't need to see that again.
Really?
I'm good.
Okay, I'm going to go that's cap. See, like, my scary movies are like The Exorcist and like The Omen.
I mean, sure.
That stuff scares me.
Demonic possession is scary,
the
too.
The Wizard of Oz is not a scary movie. It's fun. It's great, you know? Yellow Brick Road.
Blue flying monkeys that will come crashing out of the sky to tear you limb from limb. I was looking around for years. hey, wait. I go to the where you keep the blue monkeys?
You remind me of my stepfather. I was scared to death of Poltergeist, and he said, "You know, it's really a comedy. Laugh at it." And I did, and it worked.
Right up until you got sucked into the TV. That wasn't so funny.
All right. The next one. We've been talking a lot about college football today. So, Clay Helton will be replaced by an NFL coach after this season. DeMarco, is this fact or cap?
Woo, I got to say cap. NFL coach, like fired NFL coach?
Could be.
Taking over that job? Who would want that job? Which guy right now that's coaching that could get fired would?
Well, there's one guy at the top of the list.
Who's at the top of
Urban
the list?
Urban Meyer.
You'd want Urban Meyer?
Sure. I don't want Urban Meyer to be my best friend or be...
Wait. How does he leave Jacksonville?
Have you watched him play in the preseason?
No, I mean, how does he leave? Does he get fired?
Well,
does he quit?
He's proven that he has a lot of bad tricks in his bag to get out of it. Oh, Elizabeth, it's the big
no,
one.
No, not again.
Do it again.
He already used that one. You can't go back to the same gag.
Sure you can.
No way.
It worked before.
Okay.
Remember when he was going to go spend time with his family and he wrote it out on a piece of notebook paper?
I do.
And then he was the head coach at Ohio State like 8 minutes later?
Okay. Urban Meyer aside, just for a second, nah, that's got to be cap. I mean, I don't see anybody else other than Urban Meyer that could be fired in the league and then be an upgrade for USC.
I think it's cap because I think that Clay Helton will be gone at the end of the season. I just think that they'll go in the college. The way that the SC has hired their coaches of late has been pretty uninspiring.
Yeah.
It really has. That when Pete Carroll left, they chased kind of the essence of what Pete Carroll was. They tried Lane Kiffin. They tried Steve Sarkisian. It didn't really work. Then they went, because Sark had his problems, they had to go in a different direction, have somebody that was kind of the adult in the room, for lack of a better phrase. Clay Helton's pretty uninspiring.
Throw some money at Lincoln Riley.
I don't know what they're doing. The guy that I've wanted to have in there for a long time is Kyle Whittingham from the Utes.
Throw money at him. Absolutely. You go.
If you can win at Utah and put a bunch of guys in the NFL at Utah, do you think you could do if you could recruit L.A.?
Come to Southern California where you can recruit year-round. Absolutely. Now we're on the same page there.
That's the guy that I'd like to see.
All right, I got one more left for you guys. And this kind of went a bit viral yesterday. Is it acceptable to invoice someone if they cannot make your wedding? Travis, is this fact or cap?
That's cap. It's not acceptable to invoice them. It is acceptable to be really angry with them.
Okay.
I'm not saying, DeMarco, if I invited you to my wedding and you no-showed me, I'm not sending you a bill for $175. But what I am is like, dude, you kind of blanked me a little bit on this deal. You kind of left me in a bad spot. I'm not going to send you the bill, though.
That is fact. I will send you a bill through the mail. I will email you. I will text you. At my daughter's wedding, you know how complicated these things are. How many meetings we have to have. And then you no-show? Oh, yeah, I want my money back.
One of those highly stressful moments, too, especially if you care, which thankfully I didn't care about this, but a seating chart. Right? You can't put Aunt Becky with Uncle Dave. They hate each other.
Yes.
You can't do that. You know, you can't put your woke cousin with your
drunk
uncle who's going to tell you what your problems are.
All while I'm trying to watch a football game.
Right.
You know?
You can't. So you go through spinning the Rubik's Cube of trying to make sure that everybody can have a nice night. Right. And then you no-show me. You made this a bad deal for me. But I don't know. I'm not going to send you a bill.
Funches, the only one planning a wedding. How do you feel about this, too?
I have a second thoughts already.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You're good.
Here's what you good. Do. It has. It's just whatever you want. It's fine by me.
There you go.
Unless you feel deeply about something, like you cannot live with it another way.
We're talking about the guest list and stuff like that. So what do I say if I don't want this person at my wedding?
At your wedding?
Yeah.
That's one. Just swallow it and keep it moving.
Wait, she doesn't want this.
I don't want this person at the wedding, but she wants the people. Yeah. There's a handful of people that I don't want at the wedding.
Coming to the wedding.
I'm staying out of this. Yeah. That's between you guys.
She's not listening to this too. Right.
Well, I do have one rule though. This is funny. If you're on wedding two or three, there's no such thing as destination wedding.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to travel with you for two or three. Okay.
Well, you're sending me a bill for several thousand dollars.
Right.
That invitation should come with an invoice, right?
Thank you.
Your airfare to Hawaii is going to be $500 a head. You're going to need three nights in the hotel.
See?
And I got to buy you a silverware set. Get the out of here. No, that ain't happening. All right, coming up in 15 minutes, has Sony Michel solved the problem of the Rams and their running back situation? But coming up next, Kyle Bonaguro from ESPN is going to try to enlighten me about the alliance between the Pac-12 and those other conferences. That's next on Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so I've said it a few times. I need some help, DeMarco, on figuring out exactly what it is that I've been reading and hearing about the alliance between the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the ACC. Hopefully I can get a little help here. Kyle Bonaguro covers college football for ESPN. He's going to join us right now and talk a little bit about it. Kyle, how are you feeling this morning?
I'm still trying to wrap my head around what you guys are trying to wrap your head around, so maybe we can get through this together here.
I feel pretty good. He's confused, too.
A bizarre twist in all of this. But I think I can shed a little bit of light on it.
Good. So let's start here. I'm really not trying to make a joke. What is in it for these three conferences to make this alliance that is not binding, there's nothing written down? I don't understand what the win is for these three conferences.
Yeah, I think number one, I think all three of the commissioners involved felt like there was a need to have some sort of response to Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC. I think a lot of the dialogue coming out of that was our super conferences coming. How is this going to change everything? And I think that there just needed to be some public showing by the other untouched conferences that they were being proactive. And, you know, how proactive is this? You know, it still remains to be seen, right? Because there's not a whole lot of substance in what they laid out yesterday when they kind of talked about what this alliance really means. I do think one thing to keep in mind is probably they refer to it as a gentleman's agreement. I wouldn't expect any movement from the teams that are in those conferences to another, right? I don't think you're going to see an ACC team jump to the Big Ten or a Pac-12 team jump to the Big Ten or any direction there. And I think that's important for all three of those conferences to know that they're not going to have to worry about that. And, you know, we'll see if that really happens, but I think that's part of it. The scheduling aspect is interesting. They haven't got a set plan for what that'll look like, but I think it's trending towards a world where the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are probably going to head to 18 conference schedules, which allows an additional non-conference slot. And I think what you'll see is more games between Big Ten and Pac-12 schools, and the ACC certainly factors in there as well. And it's really just, you know, they talked a lot about stability yesterday. And I think what you're seeing is the SEC has realized, you know, smartly that the NCAA is losing its power over college sports, right? I think you can see the writing on the wall that there's a power vacuum there, and the SEC certainly was proactive in trying to step into that. And, you know, the other conferences don't want to be kind of left behind. I don't know if that – there's still a lot of questions, more questions than answers. Probably those are kind of the key points of, I think, what they were trying to address here.
See, Trav, I think we're dead on and right. I think he's echoing what we said. It seems like this is all just a reaction. A reaction to the SEC stealing Oklahoma and Texas. So let's get on board. Let's get our ducks in a row because we want to end this SEC dominance as soon as possible. Are we reading this right?
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you guys. And I think the playoff component is a big part of this too, that, you know, you have the SEC, working towards getting to a 12-team playoff that certainly had a lot of benefits for them. They were working on that while knowing that Texas and Oklahoma were probably heading over, and they were kind of doing that in the middle of the night, so to speak, right? And
right.
It kind of came as a complete shock that their proposal came before Texas and Oklahoma's move was announced, although they knew that was going to happen. So I think that rubbed the other conferences the wrong way, that they weren't really working in good faith in terms of how they were structuring the playoff, and not everyone was working with the same amount of information there, right? So I think you'll see the ACC and the Big Ten and the Pac-12 will probably be aligned on how they vote, right? They're going to be on the same page and make sure that the SEC isn't pushing the ball down the road in a direction that only benefits that conference.
Kyle Bonagura joining us here. He covers college football for ESPN. Kyle, with name and license and the rules change that have taken place with that, we've seen more movements in conference alignment, with Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC. Is the alliance here kind of a half measure to where I feel like college football is headed, which is basically you're going to have a group of maybe, let's call it 30 or 35 teams, and out here on the West Coast it would include SC and Oregon and maybe one or two others, that you have like a group that are playing at the highest level, spending money like pro sports, and then everywhere else in the conferences as we know them are effectively dead?
Yeah, see, I don't know if it would be effectively dead. I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I certainly think it's going to create some sort of a shift, and I'm hesitant to make any like firm conclusions about what that's going to look like. Because keep in mind too that like all the best players are already going to the big programs, right? So there's only so much more of a shift that can occur there. I think that it's certainly going to affect recruiting and schools that have wealthy donors and people who are willing to create their own marketing deals to entice kids. Like a lot of that's going to go on the side, right? And so if there's a big individual, UCLA has got a lot of wealthy donors. If there's a few of them who want to step up and create marketing opportunities for kids who play at UCLA, like, you know, you can see kind of envision a world where a school like that would benefit. And so I think it's so early, right? We haven't played a game since we haven't had a signing class, I guess, more importantly, since it was fully into effect. But I mean, USC had a really good class this past year, mm-hmm. and they were actively recruiting with NIL at the forefront, right? They were very proactive in that. And, you know, Clay Helton's been on the hot seat, and all of a sudden they turned recruiting around. You know, I'd like to put one and two together and make three here that it's because the NIL stuff was able to inject life back into the program when it was, you know, fairly stagnant over the past few years. So, yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. It's certainly, I think the NIL stuff has a much bigger impact on what the sport will look like than any sort of alliance or realignment. I mean, one, you know, there's realignment's been a constant in college sports throughout its entire existence, right? 150 years of college football. We've seen so many changes. I mean, there was a, you know, the University of Chicago used to be a power, the Ivies, right, way back in the day. And it was kind of only natural for some of that stuff to keep happening. We haven't seen a major change like the NIL stuff. And so I think that'll, you know, there'll be some unknowns that happen over the next few years until we really get a grasp on how people are going to run with it.
Well, that leads me into my next question, or kind of changes my question. College football does change. The sport does change. I guess that's part of the appeal. But in your opinion, you were a fan of, now you cover. Did college football get stale? Does it need to be changed, or is this just normal?
Yeah, I mean, it's inevitable, right? So is it good? Is it bad? I don't know. I still get super excited every Saturday for college football. And when you're on campus and the pageantry around it, it's so unique in our sporting culture here in the United States, right, that it's that appeal I don't think is going to go away. And I think there's a special affinity that college football fans have to their teams because it's, you know, for whatever reason they became a Kansas fan, a lot of it's because you went to school there, right? And so it's, you have this lifelong association with teams that that you cheer for that is more predicated on your kind of personal connection to it. And I think that's really unique. It's not, there's situations in pro sports that are similar, but that dynamic is never going to go away, right? And so I think that will always create appeal for fans. Will some people be turned off by the professionalization of it? Yeah, I think there's probably a group of people who will respond that way, but I don't envision there, you know, being any significant long-term concerns about the sport overall, right? I think that, you know, you'll be excited to see who your team plays. It'll be different teams maybe, but, you know, how they determine a champion will be different, and maybe the bowl structure is different. But, you know, I think it's really about the game day experience in college football and kind of enjoying your alma mater or your team with you know, friends and family and all that. That stuff's not going to change.
Kyle Bonagura covers college football for ESPN. Kyle, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks a bunch.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
Okay, you got it. You know, what he said right there, DeMarco, I think is so spot on, that everybody has what they like, right? I like watching SC play in the Pac-12. Great. It's fun. I get it. Play Oregon, it's fun. You play Washington, it's fun. UCLA, yeah, great. You will get used to having them play Michigan State. You will get used to them playing, you know, Penn State on a regular basis. That will be fun too. But what's never going to change is the experience of going, throwing out your grill, throwing a football around, having a few beers, laughing with your buddies.
True.
The experience of college football is what makes it, yeah, it's fun to win. It's fun to watch a good game. But I dare you, UCLA sucks. Okay, they haven't had a good football team in forever.
Right.
They haven't.
Yeah.
I dare you to go out to the Rose Bowl on a Saturday afternoon and not have the time of your life.
Oh, you'll have a blast.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, you'll
always
have a blast.
It is a fantastic day.
I get you.
And that's what college football is about, especially out here on the West Coast where, you know, people aren't living and dying with UCLA football the way they do with Auburn football or Georgia football. It's just not the same experience.
We've done okay without rotary phones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Get with the new. I get you.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, everybody likes their traditions. So.
And I still don't know what the alliance is. And that's not any criticism of Kyle.
It's a handshake deal.
I don't think anybody has any understanding exactly of what that is. I know that USC needs to win a bunch of games. That's what I know that they need to do along the way. Speaking of, we were talking about SC getting fired.
Yeah.
Clay Helton at some point maybe getting clipped. What about John Gruden?
Huh.
Do you think that John Gruden makes it through because you look at it, they still have not been very good. Their draft picks have not panned out in the way that you would like to see your draft picks panning out, especially considering how high a lot of those picks have been for the Raiders. But they're better in year two than they were in year one.
Right.
They were better in year three than they were in year two. And here we are coming into year four. They're still not very good, but they're getting better. Can you fire Gruden?
I don't think you can fire him. I think he's unfireable. I think the Raiders are incapable of firing him. But, I mean, I saw them up close. I saw them practice against the Rams. I saw them in the game. I don't see how this gets over the hump in the AFC West. I still don't.
But that's more of a Mahomes thing. You don't have to win the division to
go to the
playoffs.
I'm just talking the Chargers. I'm talking everyone else in the division. I just don't see them I don't see it yet. You know what I mean? I don't see what makes them special. I think they're just also ran so far. So if they're also ran again, this will be what, 4 years in a row?
This is the fourth season.
That you probably don't make the playoffs. And I think he sees the end of the year no matter what happens. So I don't think you can fire him.
Yeah, well, Mark Davis is in charge.
Yeah.
And I want to be careful how I say this, but I don't have the skills to do what you did to Mike Martz.
Yeah.
but I
yeah.
I just don't know if Mark Davis has the horsepower to execute this, the intricacies of getting out of his deal with 6 years left on it.
Wow.
The fact that he put him on a 10-year guaranteed deal in the first place was a terrible decision. Pro sports turns over fast.
Really fast.
You have no idea who's coming next. So you better be flexible enough to go find the next guy if you need to go find the next guy. And they're locked in, and it doesn't seem like they even want to change it.
Wow. That's pretty much what I saw. I guess that's the best way to sum it up. What did you see when I saw the Raiders? I saw a team that looked like their head coach had no fear of being fired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And a team that doesn't feel like they're going to go win a bunch of games either.
Yeah, I guess the urgency wasn't there. Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, Sony Michel is now a member of the Los Angeles Rams. Does that fix the running back problem? Plus, the dump. It's all straight ahead. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Oldest daughter?
No.
How about this one? This is from John in Huntington Beach, and it says, "Hi, ESPN LA." Well, I guess that's us.
Okay. We'll answer.
Please confirm when the contest to attend Funch's wedding is starting. Thanks. So, what do you think about that, Funch? Are you okay with
I'm okay with that. He can sit at the head table with us and also have first dib on my mother for the Mother's Sundance.
Yeah,
I'm glad you finished that.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you finished that sentence.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good idea. You might want to run that by your fiance about having John of Fullerton of Huntington Beach.
Oh, no, we're cool, man. John of Fullerton is really cool.
No, I like John, too. Right. John's a good guy.
I like it.
But John, I think John may tear up your wedding a little bit.
He's like one of those guys.
Yeah, John likes to have a good time.
Nothing wrong with that.
You want a listener at a wedding?
I'm going to crash your wedding.
There you go.
My first wedding crash is going to be
yours.
Please
do, man.
I'm going to show up in jean
shorts. Let's go together. I have wedding crashing experience.
Okay.
We'll just find out. Did you ever get the final word on the In-N-Out truck? Are you doing that?
I don't know
yet. In-N-Out truck?
I want to, but
ooh,
I don't know.
Definitely showing up.
You're just going to start following random In-N-Out trucks on the freeway.
One of them's headed to you.
You get
to one of them is headed that way.
That's so funny.
One burger limit for you.
All right. So earlier this morning, the Rams made a deal to bring Sony Michel to L.A. from New England. Lindsay Theory just tweeted saying that she spoke with Les Snead, DeMarco, saying that part of the reason that they thought that Sony Michel would be a good fit here is he's had experience carrying the ball in big games, you know, both for the Patriots. Keep in mind, he played the national championship game. I remember him at the Rose Bowl.
He beat you in the Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah. He got the only touchdown in that game.
Yeah.
He's played in these games. I remember him at the Rose Bowl against Oklahoma in the national semifinal. He was just unbelievable. He's a really good football player. Is this the right fit? Is this the right
guy? I think so. And for the most part, I would say this about most teams. I would take a former Patriot over just about anybody.
Really?
Anybody that's had that rub, that Belichick rub, I would take him into my building and feel comfortable. You know he's going to be disciplined. You know he's going to follow rules, depending on how he got there. But, yeah, I think Sony Michel is a great pickup. I think it's a great pickup, a great running back to have. Now that Cam Akers is out and Daryl Henderson proved again that staying healthy is going to be a problem, Sony Michel is a guy that was going to be competing in New England for reps, competing for a role in that backfield. I think he was going to make the team, no doubt. But
he
was going to have to compete for a role. Here, I think he has a chance to be either your two or your lead back, depending on Daryl Henderson's availability.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here.
Go ahead.
Let's assume that Daryl Henderson's healthy,
okay?
That he's not nicked up, that he's good to go. We're in week 8. Who's the starting running back for the LA Rams?
Is Daryl rolling and healthy and going?
He's healthy.
I would say Daryl Henderson. He's got ability. He's quick.
Yeah.
In this offense, I think he had a chance to be dangerous as a change of pace guy for Akers and as the lead back. Remember Denver when they were rolling?
Mm-hmm.
It was just plug and play with their running backs.
Yeah.
It wasn't – the running backs had talent, but it was mostly their scheme and how they did it, their execution. Same thing here. So if Daryl's rolling, Daryl's going to be your guy with Sony Michel as the change of pace coming off the bench. But if Daryl gets dinged – that's going to be Sony Michel as your lead back, and you'll never look back.
I wonder if, and I'm asking this for myself more than anything, because since we saw the Rams offense debut under Sean McVay a few years ago, his first season, and then the subsequent season where they went to the Super Bowl, Todd Gurley was an MVP level player. He was extraordinary.
Yeah.
He was the reason that thing
Player of the week seven times during that run.
Just a monster.
Yeah.
Just they'd hand him the ball, they'd throw him the ball. Todd Gurley was just one of the best players in the league for a couple of years. Does it have to be that? Because I keep waiting to see something that makes me think, oh, okay, that's what the offense looks like. But I have to remind myself, Gurley was a pretty special talent.
Yes and no.
You're not going to find a bunch of those guys.
So yes and no. It doesn't have to be one guy. But you do need that production. So someone needs to carry the rock as effectively as Todd did between the tackles. Somebody has to catch the ball out of the backfield as effectively as Todd Gurley. It doesn't need to be one guy doing it, but you still need that production. You need to take pressure off the quarterback. Well, you did need to take pressure off of Jared Goff. I think this is different with Matthew Stafford. I think you're going to be given light boxes.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to commit that extra safety to the
because
line of scrimmage.
He'll carve you up.
He can go vertical at the drop of a hat
right.
And beat corners down the field with the football. So it's going to change how you have to defend the Rams. So Cam Akers, Darrell Henderson, now Sony Michel, anybody that's lining up behind Matthew Stafford is going to benefit from the fact that he's there.
Travis Lee is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. When you think about the Rams when they were going at their best, and you think about them last year when they were pretty good but not quite as explosive as they were previously, I think it's – you said it a second ago. You don't have to find another Todd Gurley, but what you need – the reason that worked the way it did with Gurley is because he was special and he covered up a lot of the quarterback problems.
Yeah.
That he covered up a lot of the things. Because he was so dynamic, you did have to open it up, which let Jared Goff kind of do his thing under a little bit less pressure. The second Gurley was nicked up and the second that he was no longer here, you realize that the quarterback is the thing that ultimately needs to make this thing go. And to put it really simply – your quarterback needs to be your best player. Maybe not. I'm not talking Madden rating or anything. I'm talking that when the opposition gets ready to break down what it is you do, if they're not starting with the quarterback, you're kind of dead in the water.
I agree with you to a certain respect. I don't think your quarterback always has to be your best player, but he cannot be your worst.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He cannot be a guy that you're having to cover up for week in and week out. And I'll say this, and this is no knock, or maybe it is, and I don't care if it is, to Jared Goff. I don't think anyone was afraid of defending Jared Goff.
Right.
That was never the fear. The fear was Todd Gurley. The fear was Sean McVay and that offense. It was never on Goff. That has all changed with Matthew Stafford. You have to defend that.
I can't wait to see it. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. It is time for the dump, DeMarco.
It is Travis and Sliwa on 710 ESPN. The Max Kellerman Show is coming up in minutes. It is the final segment of Travis Slee, and you know what we do for the final segment? It's got an unfortunate name, but a great purpose. It's all the stuff we didn't get to. We call it the dump.
All right, let's start with this. Mountain Dew is releasing a new flavor of soda. By the way, how can Mountain Dew is its own thing?
Right.
Like, if I said to you, what does Mountain Dew taste like? Tastes like Mountain
Dew. It tastes like Mountain Dew.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like...
I'm all
like...
jacked up on Mountain Dew!
They're coming out with a new flavor that is Flaming Hot Cheeto flavored soda. How many cases can I order for you, DeMarco?
None. Zero. I am going to buy that cabin in Idaho. It's all coming down.
DeMarco, before the show, was blaming me, as in the youths, for bringing this Flaming Hot Cheeto into the world. It's not the youths.
You
got to
speak for your people,
is.
Man. I mean, I see these kids out in front of the malls or at libraries eating Flaming Hot everything.
I'm okay with Flaming Hot stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Everything
not
Flaming Hot?
I don't need everything, but a little, you know, if we're going to do a regular Cheeto, that's fine. But if you want to toss me a bag of the Flamings, I'm in.
That's fair,
I'll
but would
that.
You drink this?
No, I wouldn't drink
Flaming Hot Cheeto Mountain Dew.
I'm not drinking Mountain Dew to start, so I'm not drinking Flaming Hot
no
Mountain
way.
Dew.
I'm buying the cabin.
Is it that orange color or that reddish orange color that they flame it?
What
like
other
that?
Color could it be?
From the
well, Mountain
tweet,
Dew's
it was
like
orange.
A fluorescent green marker.
Would you eat something like that's flaming that says Flaming Hot that was green? I guess you would with hot sauce,
I might
right?
Give it a shot.
I
have a story to share. At my previous job when I was in Bristol, on Sundays we'd be screening, and it's a busy day. You're really busy. And at 1 p.m. on NFL Sundays, a code red alarm goes off, and everyone has to go to the cafe and get code red Mountain Dew. And it was just our tradition every Sunday at my old job. And it just it got us jacked up for the NFL Sunday.
No.
Code red. Okay.
No. Out.
Not doing it.
See if Fox is hiring.
Not doing it.
We'll go see what else is going on.
Wow.
Nah, not like doing it. That. Serena Williams has withdrawn from the U.S. Open due to a hamstring injury. And look, Serena Williams is the greatest female tennis player of all time, full stop. But it feels like we're kind of at the end, DeMarco, that she's been having all sorts of injury issues. She hasn't won a slam in a long. She's come close.
Yeah.
She's come close a couple of times. But are we done? Are we not going to see Serena win another slam?
No, I think she's due for a Larry Holmes era because there's no one else here. I mean, Osaka is the only other great tennis player right now. And Serena versus Osaka, who are you taking?
Yeah, but she can't stay healthy. And other women other than Naomi Osaka have clipped her over the last
few
years.
True. I'll take a healthy Serena, though.
Yeah.
I mean, healthy, in-shape Serena.
Well, I mean, look, Father Time, undefeated, right?
Happens,
it gets everybody at some point. Tiger Woods had the comeback, though, right?
We saw
him come back after injuries and also in age. And you need the perfect set of circumstances.
You need
the field to kind of open up for you at
some
point.
Then, Serena, go see Tiger's doctor. It's working. Whatever it is, it's working.
Whatever it is. Urban Meyer has named Trevor Lawrence as the starter in week one for the Jacksonville Jags. Number one overall pick. How's that going to go?
Oh, you know, why? Why him? Why is he more ready than, say, Fields or Trey Lance? I'm not sure if he is, but Urban Meyer is going to put him out there anyway.
Is it because Urban Meyer doesn't have to worry about getting fired? That Matt Nagy in Chicago is thinking, all right, if I play a rookie quarterback from week one, we're going to lose some games. That's just the way that it goes. But if I can try to squeeze a win or two out of Andy Dalton, maybe I can buy some time.
I actually think Urban Meyer thinks this is the right thing to do, and he may wind up being proven right, but I think this is bad for Trevor Lawrence.
So we've seen can't-miss guys, right?
Yeah.
We've seen can't-miss guys like Andrew Luck, who are pretty darn good. We've seen can't-miss guys that come out that can't play dead in a cowboy movie to steal Key's line.
Right.
Which one of the two guys is he? Lawrence.
You know what? I would rather, if I'm a backup or if I'm a quarterback or a guy that drafted a quarterback, I would rather him watch somebody else take their lumps and learn about the NFL versus take those shots yourself, because you can be ruined on any snap. So we will see. We'll see. I'm a fan, but I'm not sure how this is going to play out.
Yeah, if I'm another player on that team, I don't love the idea of playing a rookie quarterback right out of the shoot, especially if I'm an older player and we're trying to make some noise. And again, Jacksonville's probably not going to be very good anyway. And your other option is Gardner Minshew, who's okay. You know, he's got a cool mustache. He wears jorts. It's kind of an interesting story, but it's not the second coming of John Elway. So why not start him? Why not get it going?
Well, you'd have to give him parameters. No scrambling. Make sure you don't empty the backfield. Keep somebody in to protect him. He's the future. You don't want to lose him on this coach.
All right. It was this day in 1996 that Tiger Woods won one of his three U.S. amateur championships. When was the first time that Tiger Woods was on your radar? You're like, hey, that dude's different than everybody else.
Oh, let's see.
Was he a pro, or did you know prior to him becoming a pro?
No, when he became a pro. I think the first time, like, okay, I knew about Tiger. I knew about the story, and he had the Tiger Woods, club head cover, the Tiger and his dad and all that. But when he won the Masters, and he won it by a lot, that's when I'm like, okay, okay.
I remember when I was a student at Santa Barbara, and I was working at a local radio station, and he was a high school player at the time.
Yeah.
And there was like a CIF championship or something. It was some event up in Santa Barbara that he was playing. And I went out there to go see what all the hubbub was about. There had to have been 40 guys there covering this.
I'm like,
this is a high school. Okay, this is not normal. This is a little different. And he handled everything like he was Jack Nicklaus. There was no awkwardness about it at
Born
all.
To
sometimes
do it.
You get those guys that, even now, like you, let's use Jared Goff as an example. When he first, number one pick in the draft, showed up, pretty wide-eyed.
Pretty
like, hey, this is, I'm getting a lot of attention. Tiger just had that thing wired from the beginning.
Wow. Born to do it.
Yeah, absolutely, along the way. So what are you doing the rest of the week? You're not coming
being
in here.
Being a dad? Tomorrow, I'm on the afternoon show.
I'm a dad.
I'm a dad. That's number one. And then Friday, we take off for Denver. We got the Broncos game.
One more, yeah. DeMarco, can we, I don't know how much juice you have in the league office, but you need to end this preseason. we need this thing to go away once
and
for all.
I'll run it up the flagpole.
I cannot do it anymore. This is absolutely awful. Kirk is back tomorrow. Good luck in the afternoon show. Good luck in Denver, DeMarco. Great job as always. If you want to find the podcast for the show, you can go to the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter feed. They will direct you right to it as well. We'll be back here 8:55 tomorrow morning. Me and Kirk. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.